Yo, what's
Man,
good,
what's
man?
good? Man, nothing. Just been watching a lot of basketball. The
Yeah.
March Madness and shit like that. But other than that, nothing. That's really all I've been doing, just watching a ton of basketball.
You know what we haven't talked about in a long time? How is your love life?
It's funny you mentioned that.
I'm
'Cause I actually wasn't even gonna bring this up today.
curious
But
though. You haven't said a word about anything. I know you've been kind of buckling down, but like, has it been nothing at all, or has it been like a couple party
well,
favors here and there? Like, what's the word?
all right, well, I'll tell you this. So Sunday, I went on a date with this
Oh,
girl I met on a dating app.
nice.
She's a scientist from the South, actually.
Okay.
She's up here for work. She went to a couple SEC schools. I'll just say that. I won't throw her business out there like that, but
Very
went to a
nice.
few SEC schools, and we kicked it over here downtown in Milwaukee and had a pretty decent time. Kind of walked away from that experience like just tired.
Tired.
Tired. I'm just tired of the whole cycle of dating. Like it's like you consistently start over getting to know somebody, and it's the same shit over and over and over again. And I'm at the point where it's like, honestly, I don't even care enough to care. Like, I just want to do me. And some days I want a girlfriend, I'm not gonna lie. Some days I don't. I think about like the pros and cons of having a girlfriend every single day, I promise you.
You're out there
But then
making
it's like,
lists.
honestly, I only want a girlfriend when I'm like bored. And I
That's
don't want a girlfriend for the right reasons.
not the right reason. No, definitely
And
not out of
so
boredom.
I don't know, man. I'm really enjoying my time by myself. And so I'm gonna be chilling for a while.
I feel that. I feel that. I only ask because I know, like, you're 30 now, and your journey on this show, when it comes to the dating specter of things, has been a roller coaster. And you found like some winners, and then it didn't work out, and then now you're kind of in this spot now where you have your own little place, good job, downtown, still young, like. But it always sounds like whenever I ask people about this kind of thing, it's like the dating cycle these days is just weirder and more degrading and humiliating than ever. And I'm not saying that's what happened to you, but it almost feels like a not a I don't want to put generational on it, but it's just like a society of just malaise when it comes to dating. Like, birth rates are down. People don't want to have kids anymore. People barely want to go through the whole dating ritual and the courtship of it all anymore. It's just what aligns in the fastest way possible, what checks the most boxes. If you don't get all the boxes checked, who has enough green flags versus red flags? Like, it's all very gatekeeping and surface level, it feels like, these days when it comes to dating. So I'm always curious how you're dealing with things and how things have changed for you in the last couple of years.
No, I feel like dating is filled with a bunch of people who are just hurt.
Yeah,
If I'm
right?
being honest,
Yeah. Everyone's got trauma.
everyone has trauma that they don't know how to deal with, and how should I say this? And unintentionally hold the next person accountable for things that they didn't even do.
I feel that.
And it's like the key to making a relationship work is vulnerability. And people are scared to be vulnerable because people are scared of getting hurt. And when you get people like that, you just got a bunch of people who are stuck in toxic cycles. And that's when you get where we are today. Today's dating world is just that. Everyone is just out for themselves and they treat it as a business.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like, and I don't know, I keep talking to Rach about this because I'm on this nostalgia trip when it comes to TikTok. And this isn't the tick of the week at all, but I keep getting these videos that talk about how things were like for people my age, especially when it comes to like club culture. I run into a lot of that stuff where it's like, even the club these days isn't the club that it was in, the early 2000s and things. And the way people go out and party on a Friday is completely different. Drinking culture is down, and the smartphone came along, and now everyone is afraid. I like what you said about being vulnerable. Nobody dances anymore because everyone's got their phones out. People don't date the way they used to anymore because everyone's just got that shield up that I think social media has helped to kind of cultivate these masks and these shields and these walls we put up. So it's hard. I can't imagine how hard it is to just like find genuine connection with people out there in today's society when things are crazier than ever and things are at your fingertips, more accessible than ever. So I always like talking to you about it because I don't live in that headspace. And even if I was single these days, like I can't even imagine. That's a whole different world than it was when I actually was single, you know, all those years ago. So it's interesting.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's very interesting. I think one thing that needs to be studied is I think confidence levels are just men in general.
Yes.
And how unqualified more and more men become with each passing day.
Yeah.
It's like nowadays, if you're not making six figures, you're broke. And so,
right. You know, like, damn.
And it's like, you know, women nowadays, you know, back then it was a whole lot different, but nowadays, I'd say a good 65 to 75% of women, they one of the top two priorities they have are going to be money that they look for in a significant other or in a male counterpart. So,
right,
man, that's really fucked up the dating scene as well. And, man, the old school, you know, you actually, like you said, court somebody and are with somebody because you genuinely love them and not just because you get a claim their extra couple kids on your taxes or whatever the fuck it may be. Man, those days are damn near done and over with.
That's so sad. Like, I mourn for
that. No, not for you. For me.
No,
yeah.
But you know me. I'm a big heart. I want the people in my life to have the same experiences I had when it comes to love and success and things like that. So, you know what? To hear that, it sucks, you know?
The thing is, like, I've already accepted the fact that that probably won't ever be the case for me.
You can't give up like that.
No. Look, and I mean this when I say this. That is absolutely okay. You know why? I might not ever be married, but I won't ever be lonely.
That's very true. That's a good point. It is all up here. It's all that mental. You're never alone. If you're confident and secure in yourself, you're never alone. But still, I want the good things for you because I know there's a part of you that wants that family unit. And the 8,000 fucking kids for some reason, but you know.
Yeah, you know, but if I can't have it in this life, maybe the next life.
Maybe. Yeah, other than that, man, same old shit for me too. Like I said before, earlier, like I was so fucking busy with just dad shit and work shit and just event shit. Like we're on spring break now, so the kids are at home for a solid week. And I'm like, oh, okay, so we're getting sleepovers set up for them and everything like that, but I haven't gotten to sit down and watch a damn thing. So it's like I'm still catching up on what's going down in March Madness and what's happening in UFC and what's going on in the upcoming draft. And we'll cover a lot of that tonight. But, yeah, man, this has been a weird transition period between winter and spring. I feel like, you know, soccer's starting now too, even though we're already missing practices because of the weather. Won't make up its fucking mind. So I don't know what the fuck's going on in Wisconsin these days, but man, it's been tough being a Midwestern dad.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's weird because we've had a few days last week where it was like 60 degrees.
Nice.
And then today, windy as fuck, cold as shit. Yesterday, ugly. Same shit. Like,
snowed last week. So it's like, what?
I think Mother Nature is just on her period.
It could be.
But she's always on her period in Wisconsin, right?
Right, yes. We get it the worst here. I don't care what y'all say in Minnesota. I'll take the 8 feet of snow as long as I know when it's coming. This shit right here. How do you dress for this shit? You got a fucking bomber jacket and shorts and Crocs and high-ass socks and a hat. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you know, one day we're dressed like we're going to Hawaii. Next day, we're dressed like we're about to go to Antarctica. So
literally, my goodness. Not complaining. I live here for a reason, but my God. Shit's crazy.
Oh, I'm complaining because it needs to be summer every day of the week.
Oh, my God. You in the wrong climate for that, brother. You got to go south.
Absolutely.
South with an F.
South
with an F.
Closer to Detroit.
Are you rolling something up right now?
Oh, yeah. You already know.
I know those sounds. I can tell when your head is down, you're focused or something. I'm like, he's rolling up something spicy in there.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm making my personal egg roll. You know what I mean?
That's a new one. I never heard someone call it that before.
Personal egg roll, man.
Well, it's perfect timing because then the fans can roll up something too while I queue up our tick of the week.
Time to make someone 1% more famous. It's the tick of the week.
Ooh. Let's get it fired up.
I'm going to blaze up while we see the tick of the week. This is going to be lit.
This one comes at _leak_C. That's all. Very cool name. And I wish I had this man's hair because it's luxurious, but I get nasty little ugly curls and I'll never have amazing dreads or braids for any matter. Like a Rasta. Like I feel like I am. That's like my soul. My inner person is Rasta. It just can never grow the hair like I want it to be to make it look legit. It fucking sucks, man. But anyway, this one's a quick one, only 24 seconds, but this man speaks for me. He understands exactly what my thought process is just walking outside. Here we go.
But I just feel like everybody else should not be outside at the same time as me.
No.
Why are you at the store the same time as me?
Hate it.
Why are you at the gym the same time as me? And then why is it so many of y'all?
Right.
Why didn't y'all let me know that y'all was going to be at the same places as me at the same time?
What?
So I could stay my ass at home.
Thank you.
All right. Why are y'all not thinking about me?
Right.
Why doesn't the world revolve around me?
Thank
Maybe
you.
Maybe I'm a little
Thank
dramatic.
You. Thank you.
Yo, that man right there, he needs to be a preacher. He needs a church of his own.
I would be the first member.
I would have pulled my handkerchief out and waved it in the air.
Fucking sweating. Wipe me down.
Oh, my God.
Preaching.
Every time I decide to go outside of my house, into my car, and drive any fucking where.
Why is traffic unfathomable no matter where I'm going? North side, south side, east side, west side. Like, what the fuck?
I don't get it.
Like, I understand. I live in the middle of what we call the zoo interchange here in Milwaukee. I live really close to that.
Treacherous.
But if I'm leaving my house at 2 a.m., why the fuck is everyone leaving the club?
Right. What y'all doing?
What the on a Thursday night? What the fuck?
Never fucking fails, man. It never fails. Every time I have to leave my house and I'm on a nice, quiet neighborhood right on the side, try to get my driveway, leave on time to go somewhere, and what do you know? Nobody will drive down, but when I gotta leave, it's 8 motherfucking cars coming down. Where the fuck y'all going? Why are you on my street? It's not even a street to the main road. What are you doing? Y'all gonna take someone else. 2 blocks down is a much easier way to get down. Why are y'all on my street? If I gotta go to the grocery store at 1 p.m. on a Wednesday because I have a decent lunch break, ain't y'all got jobs too? This is my little sneaky time to go to the grocery store. Why are you there too at 1 p.m. on a Wednesday? I went there to avoid you. You're not supposed to do the same thing to me. Get out my way. You're not supposed to be where I'm going. You ain't got no business like my business. So go somewhere else. Go somewhere else. Just get the fuck out my way. I'm sick of it. And my wife will tell me that I am irrational with that because I feel that way. And she knows it. She'll see my fucking face and she'll know what I'm holding back, like blind fury, because somebody will be in front of me at a cashier. And of course, no one in any other line, but the one that I pick, the lady in front of me has the 8,000 coupons that she has to break out. And I brought this up before.
One by one.
One by one. And then some of them don't work. And then she has to write that fucking check. And guess what? That check is bouncing. She wrote the wrong thing. Oh, get that EBT card. Oh, wait. She forgot her PIN. It's every fucking time I go there. If I go to the self-checkout, oh, broken. Like the McDonald's ice cream machine. Never fucking fails. So y'all can say I'm crazy all you want. Some of us are tuned with the universe, and I know this shit's personal. Y'all in my personal space.
It ain't never on coincidence.
Never on coincidence, ever. It's only when I got somewhere to be. That's when y'all want to drive the slowest. If I got to get across town in 25 minutes, y'all going 20 under the speed limit. I already know it. Just because.
But let somebody be running late. And me, I wouldn't even know, but I'm just driving fast.
Exactly. Like, what?
Thinking about people who are actually late without them even telling me that they're late.
Common courtesy. See, that's all I'm asking for. Just go home. Let me take care of my business. And then y'all do what you got to do. That's all. It's not narcissism. That's just facts, folks. Let's get the show started. What do you think?
Kalina, can you please play the fucking music?
Where we're headed, no one knows. But if you need some friends, rely on the Fake Bros.
You forgot the yo part. You gotta say the yo. Or she doesn't
man,
even...
Yo, Kalina, fuck Kalina. Whatever, man.
Oh my God. Welcome to the Bank Bro Show, everybody. My name is Siege. That guy's Rizzy. You know it. You know what it is. We're back again. Another episode about sports, because that's what we like to talk about. It's a lot of March Madness going on right now. And this man's been in the lab watching everything he can just to bring you some hard-hitting analysis. If you're living in the Wisconsin area, most of us are just watching the Badgers, and then they blew it over the weekend too, so he'll get into that as well. But this has been a pretty interesting tournament. How's your bracket doing so far? Have you only set one? Do you do multiples?
So I actually, already? I wouldn't say any of my brackets busted yet.
Okay.
But I would say my female bracket's probably going to bust because I picked USC to win that, and Juju Watkins just went down with a torn ACL. So that one might be looking rough. But nice. My men's bracket, I only did one as well. I have my guys in East Lansing, the Michigan State Spartans winning it all. You already know. And I actually had BYU over Wisconsin. So
interesting.
I can get into that a little later.
I was going to say, I feel like that was a spite pick, but we'll go from there. But actually, no, fuck that. Start with them, because you're going to get us some analysis about March Madness and how things are going as we go into the Sweet 16, starting on the 27th here. So, yes, what have you been seeing so far in all your lab work? And, get into that Badgers loss, because what the hell happened?
All right, man. Well, first things first, let me get into this Badgers loss real quick before I get into the stuff that actually matters. First of all, fuck the Badgers. This goes back to when they played Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament. John Tonje so happens to have the game of his fucking life against my Spartans for no fucking reason. No reason at all. He pops off for like 30 some odd points and no one's counting, though. And then the next game against Michigan, the Wolverines, he shits the fucking bed. I wrote the stats down. Hold on. Give me 1 second. I did this research because it's going to back me up for my risky picks later. John Tonje was 1-for-14 against Michigan, but he decided to have the game of his life against Michigan. Say, so fuck the Wisconsin Badgers. All right. And what happened when they played BYU? John Tonje, he scored 30 some odd points again, but they were all worthless because they were all empty calories. They were out of the game anyway. BYU just too strong, too good offensively. They hung 91 on the Badgers. The Badgers, piss poor defense, relied on their offense all year. Bunch of frauds. And respectfully, I mean this with every ounce of love that I have inside of me, which isn't much. Crystal, fuck you. Just fuck you. All right. Take this L back to wherever the fuck you live. Drink some goat milk. And tell me how that shit tastes.
That shit was poisonal. He didn't mean it, Crystal. He did not mean that. Actually, he probably meant all of that. I can't even lie.
with every ounce of love I have inside of me, Crystal.
Damn.
But I'll see you at the top again in fantasy when it comes to points scored. So
I was gonna say, she's gonna make you pay for that next season.
Oh, you mean with a tie that she's going to lose on a tiebreaker?
Oh, she always gets every single year, but we digress. We won't go there. Keeping it positive tonight.
But, you know, outside of the Badgers, man, before I get into the men's side of things, I just really want to shout out Juju Watkins real quick, man. Like I mentioned, she tore her ACL last night. I'm not sure if it was last night, but during her tournament game, USC still ended up winning. But this is just tragic, tragic for women's basketball as a whole.
Yes.
For those of you who don't know, Juju Watkins, for her career, has averaged 26 points per game, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and just under 2 blocks. She broke Caitlin Clark's record for most points through 2 seasons. That's how good she is. And she gets nowhere near the amount of publicity, I'm sorry, that Angel Reese or Caitlin Clark ever got. So, I mean, these are just some of her accolades. First team Pac-12, first team Big Ten. That's defense as well. And then she's Pac-12 Freshman of the Year. And then she's National Player of the Year. I mean, she has all the accolades. 2-time All-American, speedy recovery, Juju Watkins, get well soon. Now, into the men's.
Actually, before you get into that, just one question about Juju.
Sure.
Do you think Jaden Daniels' mom paid that player to do the tackle?
All right, that's fucking hilarious. That's
a, he said, nah, bro.
I saw that rumor too. Don't get me wrong. I seen that shit too, but no.
Tonya Harding shit.
Nah, not at all, man.
That'd be crazy. That'd be wild.
It was like a, I don't think people realize how much of a contact sport basketball actually is.
Yeah.
It was just a bang bang play. Like,
it was a nasty fall. Like,
yeah.
Seeing the replay, I was like, yeah, that's, what are you gonna do? Like,
shit happens, man. It's wrong place, wrong time. It could have been anybody, and exactly. It would have been the ACO.
Yeah. But that's how it goes. That's how it goes. She'll be back.
Yeah, she'll be back, and I'll see her when she get back, because I think she's gonna be some serious. I'll get into her when we need to get into. But anyway.
Oh, really now?
Oh no, not like that. Pause. Respectfully, because I think she's cold. Like, she's cold.
She's great.
Now, what stands out to me so far in this men's March Madness NCAA tournament through the first two rounds, no doubt in my mind, is coaching. These coaches have been coaching their fucking asses off. And I'm going to start with two coaches who actually ended up losing, but they still coached their fucking ass off. And as a fan of the game, I salute and I respect that shit. I want to mention Dan Hurley, defending champs, defending back-to-back champs, may I add. Played Florida, the number one seed. I believe UConn was a 9 seed, if I'm not mistaken, 8 or 9 seed.
UConn was an 8 seed.
8 seed, okay. 8 seed. And there were moments in that game where UConn was up double digits, close to double digits, and it looked like UConn was going to run away with this game. But, you know, Florida being the one seed that Florida is, you know, obviously the cream going to rise to the top.
But the cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
But I just wanted to say, Dan Hurley and his offense, oh, my fucking God. So he runs this, like, 4-out-1-in offense, and it's fucking complicated as shit. There's so many little intricate, like, little details that he has into his offense. Like, it, like the way the dribble handoffs are, like, that the guard is if he's coming off of a pin down, he's going off the right hand. It's going to be a lob to the big. And, like, it's crazy as shit. I can't even catch everything. But, man, his offense is fucking crazy. And his offense has always been crazy ever since he's had, like, Donovan Klingon and Stephon Castle and then, you know, Jordan Hawkins. And so it's like we always knew this offense was a system of its own, but we really got to see what type of offense it was. What the players Dan Hurley currently has who probably aren't going to be NBA players. Like, none of them are going to be. No, I'll take that back. This team isn't as good as his previous teams. I'll just say that. And the offense is still functioning the way that it is. Shout out to Dan Hurley. The next coach I want to shout out, Rick Pitino, legendary coach.
Oh.
And he did it. And his team played Arkansas, ended up losing, technically upsetted as the higher seed. He coaches St. John's, who was a 2 seed. He did something in this game that I 100% agree with. He benched his best player, RJ Lewis, late in the game. Didn't put him back in the game. Even though his team needed buckets and his team was down, he benched RJ Lewis because RJ Lewis was playing terrible. He shot 3 for 17 in this game, and he shot 0 for 3 from 3 in this game. But not only did he shoot bad, his shot selection was bad, and it looked very selfish. Most of the time, players help their draft stock when they play in these big-time tournament games, whether they win or lose. RJ Lewis really hurt his draft stock with this game. He took shots over 2-3 defenders, just bad shot selection as a whole, bad offense as a whole, and Rick Pitino having the balls to bench his best player, who is probably going to be a lottery pick this year in the NBA draft. Man, shout out to Rick Pitino because I stand by that decision 100%. He's catching a lot of flack for it, but you know what? In my opinion, you got to do what's best for the team. And if a player, in my opinion, is playing selfishly like that, in my opinion, from what my eyes seen, I'm not saying that his intentions were selfish, but his style of play in that moment were selfish because he was shooting over 2-3 people like he's Kobe Bryant. He needs to chill the fuck out. Now, like I mentioned, Rick Pitino's St. John's team played Arkansas, and I want to shout out Arkansas's coach, who is the legendary Coach Cal, and that's Coach John Calipari. He has always been a great recruiter, and I think people has always given him credit for that. You know, he's recruited Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Derrick Rose, the list goes on and on, John Wall. And this group is no different. You know, he has DeJuan Wagner, he has Boogie Fland, he has Trevon Brazil, he has a bunch of talented dudes, and he has them all sacrificing from one another. And I don't think he ever gets enough credit for that, the way he manages his talent and egos on his team. I think he's doing a fantastic job the way this team played the game, the way DJ Wagner moved the ball and controlled the game like a quarterback. I thought that was very impressive. And that's a testament to Coach Cal and his coaching and his leadership. And that's also a testament to DJ Wagner being willing to sacrifice, because he was a big time scorer coming out of high school, being able to sacrifice and play actual point guard, play quarterback for this team says a lot about not only DJ Wagner, but the rest of this team. So shout out to Coach Cal, what he's doing over there. And last but not least, you know, I ain't going to go without not mentioning my boy, Coach Izzo, the greatest coach in the game. I don't give a damn what they say. Michigan State has been the definition of strength in numbers all season long. I think the stat goes, they don't have anyone in the top, I believe it's 300 in scoring. They're the only team in the top 25 without a single player in the top 300 in scoring. I think that's the stat. And that's fucking crazy. So there's 8 players on the team that average over 5 points a game and 7 that average over 7 points a game. So that shows you the balanced scoring that this team has. The way this team plays is strictly defense, fast break, physical. Don't shoot too many threes. If they're hitting threes, it's over for you. And this is what I mean by strength in numbers. So in the 2 tournament games they played this year, they've had 2 bench players in each game score 10-plus points. In the first game against Bryant, easy, took care of him. Holloman and Cohen Carr each scored over 10 points. In the second game, it was Holloman and Frankie Fiddler that scored over 10 points. And shout out to Holloman, because he was someone that was actually in the starting lineup that Izzo took out of the starting lineup in place of the son of NBA great and former Michigan State Spartan, Jason Richardson. Jace wow. Richardson. And shout out to Jace Richardson, because he's been flourishing in that starting role. And Holloman's actually been flourishing as that first guy off the bench, that 6-man type role. And he's been a professional. And it's just been a total team effort, total team buy-in from this group. I love what I'm seeing. They going all the way. You could fucking bet the house on that shit.
If Michigan State can't win it all, who else do you think can win it all?
Jesus, no, I'm playing. you know, if it's not Michigan State.
Just to be fair.
Yeah. No. Because honestly, I'll be completely honest. Of course, I'm picking biasedly when I'm picking Michigan State. But no, that Michigan State's actually a pretty fucking good team.
Yeah, number 2. Yeah.
Yeah. They're a number 2 seed, and I think they're in the top 10. So, fuck. If it's not Michigan State, I'll say, you know, I actually really like St. John's. So, they got knocked out. I like, what other team do I like? You know, man, I'm not going to lie, man. Texas Tech looks pretty good. Texas Tech looks pretty good. I'm not going to lie, man. They can shoot the three. They got size. They can rebound. They're led by JT Toppin, who is not related to Obi Toppin or Jacob Toppin. But man, he's a dynamic scorer. He's like a 6'9 forward. The Texas Tech's dangerous, and I think Kentucky, they have this guard I'm a big fan of. His last name is Owe, forgot his first name, but big physical guard. He's like 6'4", typical Coach Cal guard, where he's gonna be explosive all around player. Put the ball in his hands, play free. I mean, Coach Cal doesn't play there anymore, but essentially that's still a Coach Cal player in my opinion. So okay. Those are a couple teams that just come off to mind. But if I were to lean towards one, I love picking teams that people don't normally pick. So I'm going to lean towards Texas Tech.
Okay. That's an interesting pick. Yeah. I like that. Now with my bracket, somehow I am still at a 94.3% doing better than I probably ever have. My money has been and will continue to be on Cooper Flagg and Duke, who just got them to the Sweet 16. I want to know your thoughts on Cooper Flagg, as the NBA is pretty much all lined up to welcome this lad. So what do you feel? Is the hype real with Cooper Flagg, or
No, don't get me wrong. Like, I think Cooper Flagg is deserving of all the hype he's getting. I think he's going to be a great NBA player, and I think he's a great prospect coming up. But I don't think he's going to be the best player in this draft.
Okay.
I think we're overlooking a couple of dudes.
This is usually your thing. You like to find those gems that no one's looking at, and then you're like, told you so.
I wouldn't say we're overlooking these dudes because they're still going to be top five picks, but I think these dudes have higher ceilings than Cooper Flagg. I think Cooper Flagg, he's going to be this level caliber player for a very long time. He's a high ceiling. No. He's a high floor, low ceiling type of player, in my opinion. Like extremely, extremely high floor, but low ceiling. Just in my opinion. But I like Ace Bailey.
Okay.
From Rutgers. Big 6'9 guard. Plays similarly to like a Tracy McGrady. His shot selection, in my opinion, needs to improve. But he's probably going two in this draft, in my opinion. He's probably going two. And another guy I really like is Dylan Harper, son of Ron Harper.
Been hearing a lot of hype for him.
Yeah, son of Ron Harper, former Bulls great. He's just a 6'6", can play the point guard, can play the shooting guard. He explosive, quick with the ball, can play without the ball. He's just a dynamic player, and he's one of those guys that are going to impact the team from day one. And his debut game, he's probably going to score 25 points.
Crazy.
And I think those two guys were overlooking to becoming the best players in this draft. But don't get me wrong, Cooper Flagg, amazing player. Duke, amazing team. I'm just never into picking one seeds winning at all. That's something I just don't do.
I usually don't either, and I'm not someone who puts a lot of study into these brackets, not like fantasy football for March Madness, and more like I'll try one, and I want to defeat my wife. That's always the goal because she beats me every fucking year without even trying. So that's all it's going for. So I'm going with the smart money when it comes to Duke. But I know they're vulnerable too. So like there's a lot of really fucking good teams in this Sweet 16 left. So I would not be surprised if Duke ended up coughing it up. That's a lot of pressure on Cooper. But that's what I'm going with. I'm sticking with it.
I forgot who I had them losing to. I'm going to go look real quick who I had them losing to.
Yeah, because I got Arizona next, which is going to be a tough game.
Yeah, Arizona's good. They got a Caleb Love. I think that's the guard's name.
Yeah, he's balling out.
Stud.
But after that, they get either BYU or Alabama, which I think the crew is by either one of those two.
BYU or Alabama? No, Alabama's a pretty good team.
Alabama's good, but I think tough. Duke's better. But
Duke, hold on. Where's my bracket? Oh, here it is. Where's Duke? East. I have Duke losing to. Wait, actually, no.
Ooh.
I think I have Duke in the Final Four.
Look at you, as you should.
Look, let me just. No, I have them losing to Alabama.
Oh, that's big.
I have them losing to Alabama. Yeah, but I got them in the Elite Eight losing to Alabama.
Interesting.
Yeah. What region is this? This one's already fucked because I really like St. John's.
Yeah.
What's this?
Good the West you went for it.
Yep, my west region's fucked up.
Honestly, all my regions are actually pretty good. I'm in good shape.
Mm.
Again, I'm knocking on wood or whatever this wood replacement desk is, but for now, this is like the best start I've had in March Madness history. So I'm just trying to ride the wave a little bit, not get ahead of myself. There is one more game I want to ask you about before we move on.
Sure.
And that was Colorado State and Maryland after Colorado State loses a heartbreaker to Maryland on a buzzer beater, but everyone who looks at that video has been saying the same thing. There was a heavy travel for that Maryland player who hit the buzzer beater. I want to know what you think. Was that a missed call, or was that legit Maryland wins?
Hey, he made the shot, and the ref didn't call it. He made the shot, and the ref didn't call it. I'll give y'all something else.
Oh.
Remember that shot Jordan hit in game 6 in Utah? Ref didn't call it and Jordan hit the shot, but no one calls that push off, right?
That's a very good point.
So, hey, Derek Queen, the freshman, hit the shot and the ref didn't call it. So, Maryland legitimately won that game.
Okay. I love it. He's just fair with it, folks.
Hey, you got to be. If the ref called it, then we're having a different conversation.
Right.
Because he that would have been the right call to make. Because in all actuality, did he travel? Yeah. But the ref didn't call it, so shot counts.
Hey, that's peanut butter and jelly. That's all it is.
Man, as long as the ref doesn't call it, it's right. going to count. I don't know how many times y'all have to see this shit to realize it's not a travel until the ref calls it.
Listen, it ain't theft unless you actually find your stuff.
Look,
it's just missing.
Hey, speaking to you, man, all the listeners out there, how many times have y'all stolen from the corner store?
Ooh, you want me to incriminate myself on this?
No, don't answer me. Don't answer me. Don't incriminate yourself. But the fact that y'all had to think about it.
Yes, I was going to say, like, it gave me pause. So, yeah. Dude had to attack me on my own show. I was a kid. I was hungry, man. I wanted that big league chew, bro. Anyway, it was so bad for you. All right, folks, we are 1 month away officially from this year's beloved NFL draft. A Bank Bros favorite. Like I said, it's like Christmas morning. What kind of new toy do you get? So we wanted to just kind of look at some of these mocks, kind of how we're feeling about our own teams going into it after the offseason. You know, Bears are always offseason champions. Lions made some moves too. But what I really want to know, instead of getting crazy about who's going where, with all the big names that are coming out of this first round, for the Lions, I want to know just one player you are hoping. If you had a wish list, who's at the top of your list? And then after we both decide that for our teams, we'll get into some bold takes about how we think the first round will go, maybe some surprises in store. But yes, for the Lions, how are you feeling? Who you got your eye on in this draft?
With the Detroit Lions, we have a few needs, in my opinion. Interior offensive line, defensive back, or none higher than edge. So we need someone opposite of Aiden Hutchinson who can cause some problems for the offense. And one person I'm really looking at is James Pierce Jr. That's who I want. Defensive end / outside linebacker from Tennessee. He has elite quickness, quick first step. He actually ran like 4.47 or some shit like that at the 40. He's flexible. Great in the bend. I mean, he's great at bending the corner and getting to the quarterback, beating offensive linemen off the edge. His IQ, that's something I want to talk about. He has a unique blend of speed and power. And when I watched him play against Alabama, he knew when to use his speed. He knew when to use his power. He was consistently in the backfield, not because he was the better athlete than the offensive lineman, but because he was the smarter football player. Than the offensive lineman. He was consistently in the backfield messing with Jalen Milroe's timing. He just honestly flashed all over film when it came to pass rush. Anything involving pass rush, he was amazing. Great with his hands. But where he needs to get better is he needs to improve as a run defender. Sometimes he gets way too aggressive committing to the pass. They run it right into his gap, and he has such good lane integrity that he's not moving anywhere but straight ahead, that he gets beat right in his gap by the run game. And that's something where he needs to improve, especially if the Lions are going to want to draft him, because the first thing the Lions want you to do is be able to stop the run from D-line all the way to D-back. So he can potentially be the Jameson Williams of our defense, if that makes any sense.
I kind of get what you mean.
Because Jameson Williams is that deep threat opposite of Amon-Ra St. Brown that can hurt a defense at any given moment, and you need to pay him attention at all times. And James Pierce Jr. can absolutely be that. In his last two seasons, he has 55 tackles, 18 sacks, and a 52-yard pick six. I'll take that production. That's some solid production. If we can possibly even trade up for him, I'll be cool with that. Because teams, from what I'm hearing, have him all over the place. So teams have him top five, teams have him second round. So I don't know where he's going to go.
Yeah, I can see that. That would make a lot of sense for the Lions too. And I mean, people keep thinking there's going to be a drop off for them. And honestly, I don't see it. But restacking the deck here, I think it's going to be crucial for them after the losses in coaching. So yeah, they really got to nail this one. But I think you're in a really good spot to kind of get what you need without having to go crazy for it. If they do trade up, you know, at least it wouldn't hurt you too bad, I don't think. With the Chicago Bears, though, it's It's a different story. And I've been seeing mocks all over the place, and there really is no consensus here. After the offseason moves we've made, and they added much, much needed beef up front and a bit of help on the defense, we're kind of in this weird spot at number 10. So what do you do? And I've kind of seen everything from tempting the Bears with a weapon, another weapon. If Jonte is there, do you go for him? I'm seeing a lot of people even throwing like Tyler Warren out there as a tight end to make Cole Kmet sweat for his money. You know, Tyler Warren's a weapon. We know Ben Johnson likes the tight end sets. So it's like, you know, I can see that. I could even see us going for a blue chipper defensive tackle. Even though we signed Grady Jarrett and Odangbo, like, you got to think of the future. Jarrett isn't our long-term solution for us. We're going to get a few years out of him. But you got to think about the future, too, in that defense. And we desperately still need pieces on the defensive front. So here's my thing about that. I don't give a shit. I've said the same thing from the jump, and I don't even care about the people we picked up. We have to complete the offensive line, period. If we're going to sit at 10, and I don't even have a favorite. If it's Will Campbell with his shorter arms, everybody's kind of worried about. If it's Armand Membo, like, he's got a couple issues, but he's still elite. If we trade down for like Kelvin Banks, whatever, any of those guys, put them on the line, make Braxton Jones fucking work for that money, and let's get to work here. Because if you are investing in this quarterback, like we keep saying we're going to, we got the interior down. Our left tackle still is a big question mark. Right tackle, I think we're fine. But left tackle, finish the rebuild. Finish it in one fucking year. Like, the dramatic turnaround will work. I get it's tempting to get another toy. We just got Odunze. Let him cook. Odunze hasn't even done shit yet. He was great for a rookie. They didn't really get to uncork him at all. Now that we don't have Keenan Allen anymore, Odunze is going to flourish. He's ready. But trying to get another weapon now to me seems luxurious at a time when we don't need to be. I get it's fun being in a position to get the best player available. We've got to still build these trenches up. We still can't get to the fucking quarterback, and we still can't protect ours. And we just got these guys. So until further notice, that project isn't completed yet. You haven't checked that box yet. This is the opportunity. Finish the rebuild. Next year, we'll talk about toys. This year, the trenches. I said it before. I want the unsexiest draft pick ever for the Bears. Go give me another Kyle Long. I don't care. Just with better knees, please. But my God. Finish the rebuild. Finish what we started. We're on a good path right now. Everyone's universally like, the Bears are doing a good thing. Don't get cute, like I always say. Don't get cute here. Finish the rebuild. I'm stressed out about it. I'm still a little worried.
No, I think the Bears will be fine. They got Ben Johnson and making the calls.
I feel so... Every time you say his name, it's like, we do have an adult in the room. You're right. Yeah. I'm not used to that. I'm never going to be used to that.
A grown man. You guys have a grown man.
Yes. I understand a piece of what you felt the last few years. Like, it's optimism.
Yeah, actually, it doesn't matter what you guys pick because they're probably going to be a good player. We picked Sam Laporta, and I was bitching about Sam Laporta. And look how Sam Laporta turned out.
Which is hilarious because we're about to get into our bold takes. That was my number one bold take for this draft, was the Lions are going to draft someone Rizzi crashes out about who will then become a Pro Bowler next year. I have it written down right in front of me. That's my number one bold take. I think you're going to hate whoever the Lions pick, and they're going to knock your socks off. And you're going to be like, damn, I was wrong again. I'm going to laugh at you.
I'm right about everyone but who the Lions pick.
Exactly. You got that weird reverse bias shit. I have the same thing for the Bears. I can't deny it, but that shit is hilarious. I think it's going to happen. I don't care who you guys get. I bet they're going to be a stud. Where do you guys even pick?
We pick like 30th or 28th? 28.
Yeah, you're 28. 28, Watch you still get a stud.
Man, I don't know, man. You know who I wouldn't be mad if we took in the first round? But I know plenty of people would be. Jalen Milroe.
But why? I mean...
Yo, he's fucking good. All right, well...
I mean...
Let me say this. Why? Here's why the Lions should take him, in my opinion. Jared Goff showed you in the playoffs, once again, why the Rams were hesitant on giving him another extension for some reason, he just decided to throw multiple picks in a season where he threw, what, nine so or some shit?
Many touchdowns and so little picks.
So Jalen Milroe still needs some work. You know, yep. He has rare speed, rare athleticism, and rare arm talent. So if we get Jalen Milroe to just learn, sit behind Goff, see where Goff takes us. Probably not going to take us in. No, I'm not going to say that.
No.
And, you know, we got someone, you know, ready to take the keys from, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And then Jalen Milroe can take over and good things can happen. Because nowadays you need a quarterback that can run and also throw. I'm just going to throw that out there.
So you're saying you don't think Hendon Hooker is the quarterback of your future?
Oh, Hendon Hooker is going to be gone. No.
Gone.
Yes. No, it's almost a foregone conclusion.
Damn, like, you had high hopes when you drafted him.
No, yeah, it's because he's actually ready to play, and he's not going to play anytime soon on the Lions. So we're actually just stunting his growth with each passing day, just stunting his growth when he can easily start for the Browns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I could start for the Browns at this point.
He can easily start for the Browns, Cowboys.
He could have started for the Giants, but they made a move.
Giants, possibly Raiders.
Right? There's options for sure.
Oh, shit. Hold up.
Uh-oh. We lost him. Yo, Kalina.
Yo.
Make a bet with me. I will bet you $1 that he did not charge his laptop and it just died.
Fine. But you still owe me from covering your ass when the Badgers lost to BYU.
My charger fell out of my laptop.
I got it!
That's trash.
Kalina, you owe me $1. Boom! Just like that. Easy money. I made a bet with her that, it was your laptop and it was not charged and you didn't have your charger or something. And I was like, it's something that related.
Yeah.
What is one of your bold takes for this draft, sir?
One of my bold takes for this draft, I think Shedeur Sanders falls in this draft.
Ooh.
With the Giants recently signing Russell Wilson. and didn't they just sign Jameis Winston as well?
They sure did. So that room is Wilson, Jameis, and Tommy DeVito. A room.
I'm pretty sure they're not going to draft a quarterback with the first pick. I'm pretty sure they're going to go with like a receiver or maybe offensive line or I don't know where they're going to go, but I think he falls in the draft. I can see him. I don't know. Like I know the Raiders could use a quarterback, but does he go to the Raiders? I don't know.
You know, with Deion watching, they're going to want him to go somewhere he can start fast. And I know Geno's in Vegas. But Geno still got some juice.
Yeah, so, that's the thing. Like, so do they go with the quarterback? I don't know. Right.
You're sitting for at least a year if you're going to Vegas.
And you keep going down the line of teams, and I don't know of a team that's going to take him if you think about it. Because if you look at the order, so you get Tennessee that's probably going to take Cam Ward. And then who's number two? Jacksonville?
No. And this is my bold take to go against yours. I believe Shedeur Sanders is going to be a Cleveland Brown at number two.
Oh, yeah, Cleveland picks second.
Because a lot of people are going Abdul Carter, which Abdul Carter is going to be a fucking monster. But you understand Myles Garrett just signed a big fucking contract. We just talked about it on the show.
Yeah,
he's signing for that if they didn't have a quarterback plan in place that they told him about? I think they're going for Sanders.
Nah, they already have a quarterback plan. It's Deshaun Watson, who they also have signed to a fat-ass contract.
Come on. Myles Garrett almost lost because Watson was already there, and they got nowhere. I know he got hurt, but still.
And they still have Watson, so it's like they're not going to get another quarterback to replace someone who's making $60, $50 million a year.
But he causes them so many problems. I think they
also he costs them so much money, and they don't want to win. They don't. They don't want to win. Let's be real. They don't want to win. Writing is on the wall. They can say they want to win all they want. That media bullshit. They don't want to win. Myles Garrett does not want to win. The Cleveland Browns do not want to win. They just want to make money. And this is the most exciting the Cleveland Browns have ever been. As long as they're exciting, their fan base is going to ride with them.
You don't think Sanders would make it even more exciting? That's who wouldn't pay to go see him in Cleveland?
No, I'm not saying he wouldn't, but I'm just saying I highly doubt that's going to happen because they're already paying someone $50 million at the quarterback position.
But it's Cleveland, and they're incompetent in everything, so why wouldn't? This is a total Cleveland move. Of course they would. This is out of their playbook.
The Cleveland thing is they wouldn't. The Cleveland thing is they'll draft another Justin Gilbert.
Oh, fuck.
That's the Cleveland thing to do. The Cleveland thing to do is they trade back and they still draft the wrong quarterback.
That could very well be. It could be any of that shit. I looked at that and I was like, because I agree with you. If you look at these teams at the top, especially after the offseason, like nobody is looking for a quarterback at least that fucking bad right now outside of Cleveland or Tennessee, who are already at 1-2. So if you get past
Arizona,
them,
no.
No.
Jacksonville, no.
New England set. They like their guy. So, no, it's Raiders. Houston, I mean, it's a possibility. Raiders.
Possibly.
Jets just got Fields. Carolina, yep. They got Bryce Young. They still believe in him, yep. I think. So
You guys are good.
The Saints at 9, but
Rattler. They like him, and he didn't play bad.
He didn't play bad.
He played like a rookie.
Yeah.
And they still have Carr. They're still tied to Carr.
I figured he's on the way out soon, though. But Niners, they love Purdy. Cowboys, they still got Dak on the money, so I don't know, man. Dolphins,
Colts. Oh, no. Cowboys.
At 12? They could move up.
I know. No, I know. Wait, hold on. When's Dak's contract done?
Is this his last year?
Damn.
I will check. Yo, Kalina, when is Dak Prescott's contract finished?
Dak Prescott's current $240 million contract extension with the Dallas Cowboys, signed in 2024, runs through the 2028 season, making him the highest paid player in NFL history. The deal includes $231 million in guaranteed money and a no-trade clause. The Cowboys are screwed.
Oh, never mind. Nope. Never mind.
Nope. 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 Nope.
Never mind.
Dude, he's got them in the ringer with that fucking contract, man.
Yeah, shout out to his agent. Fuck.
Yes, holy shit. His agent better be on his own yacht after that fucking thing. Damn. So, I mean, yeah, he's not going anywhere. Purdy's not going anywhere. Dolphins still like to Colton Richardson. I mean, Richardson's still young.
He's younger
Falcons?
Than fucking...
Nope.
Nope. He's actually younger than Shador.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. I didn't realize that. Damn. Yeah, there's nobody. Unless he goes to be a backup somewhere. And he's not going to be in the first round as a backup.
Nah. Wait. So, fuck. You said the Falcons?
But Penix, though.
Yeah, no. And then who, though? Yeah. Falcons?
Falcons and then Cardinals. Nope.
No.
Bengals? Nope.
No.
Not the Seahawks?
No.
Not the Buccaneers?
Bucks.
Not the Broncos?
Nope.
Steelers?
See, these are... They don't have any quarterbacks now.
Unless they go for Rodgers. It shouldn't matter if they go for Rodgers or not, but Steelers...
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
He's going to Pittsburgh.
That would be wild. With those receivers?
Yo, he's going to Pittsburgh. Yo,
if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm on the fucking phone.
But
play it cool because you know no one really needs a quarterback at this point.
Exactly.
If Cleveland passes, be on the lookout.
You just have to see what Cleveland is doing.
Yeah, that's really it. Everyone else is gonna pass them.
And I'm pretty sure they're going Abdul Carter.
That's what everybody says. Again, my take is that Cleveland's gonna be an idiot and take him at 2. But do not be surprised if they go Carter and then. Here we go. It's going to be the story of the night if he goes in a free fall, 100%.
But if Shador does go to Cleveland, that'd be some shit.
I'm just saying, you talk about the most exciting Cleveland it's ever been.
That'd be some shit.
That would be electricity in Ohio. That'd be fun. That'd be a fun thing to watch. Let me see. Do I have any other? Oh, yeah, I have another bold take for the Bears because here we go. I mentioned we're at number 10. The Bears know we're in a tough spot because there is absolutely a way that the first 9 picks can unfold and we would miss all our top choices. It's very possible. 10's a tough spot. With Ben Johnson in the war room, and I know he's not this kind of guy all the time, but big splash, I'm going to predict we're going to trade up. Don't know what, don't know who. I feel like they are secretly – really, really high on a defensive player named Mason Graham from Michigan. Total stud athlete. They understand that the defense still needs an anchor. We still need the future. And somebody who can kind of come in right away as a wrecking ball at a top position and a top draft spot like this, probably not going to have a lot more chances at this. I don't know. But it feels like we're in a spot now where we could wheel and deal a little bit. We've got plenty of picks in the first three rounds. We could throw one of those second round picks, move up to like a 5 or 6 spot and go for Graham. I kind of feel that's where we're going because they feel comfortable with the offensive line the way it is. So now they turn the defense, which I get it. I know Ben Johnson still wants that Jahmyr Gibbs type. So I don't see us trading up for Jonte. There's plenty of running backs.
You guys already have that. Draft.
We have it already. Exactly. The offensive line is going to make that happen. But
no, Swift.
Swift's a guy.
Don't act like Swift is chopped liver. Y'all don't need a running
back. I don't. But you know they like the Sonic and Knuckles. Swift is great. They don't run Roshan. Herbert's gone. I mean, that's just how it goes. I'm hoping so.
My prediction is they will. But
if they dip into the running back pool, this is a good draft to do it. That's all I'm saying. There's plenty of people who can fill in that cannonball role too. But I do feel like we're going defense, even though I really want us to finish the offensive line. But Ben Johnson, new team, I feel like he's going to swing his dick around a little bit.
No, trading up is actually in his DNA.
Oh, is it? See, I haven't been watching Ben Johnson draft that much. I've been kind of watching. I feel like Dan Campbell is just the guy to do all that. But if Ben Johnson's a wheeler and dealer, I like it.
Guess what? Well, he's in the room too.
I know, but you know, Dan Campbell's the guy.
He's been in the environment where we would consistently trade up.
Oh, okay.
So trading up is something he's actually very, very familiar with, and I think
it's
probably going to happen. Either I think you guys stay at 10, but then you guys trade up for an additional first round pick.
I could see it. They don't want to come. We need a lot still. Like I said, I'm not out here like, we're going to do stuff and we're going to be successful. Yeah. No, we still got work. Yeah. So
if
we can get a couple, that'd be great.
And like you said, you guys have the assets to do it.
Yeah. Finally.
Yeah. It's like you guys got unlimited money. Like, what the fuck?
I know, your boy sweating. I saw Mara talk about it. I was like, yeah, bitch, we got some money.
What the fuck? Y'all paid him and him the same contract. And then y'all paid our offensive coordinator that. What the fuck?
Bam! Money for everybody. Everybody got some cash. I was like, yeah.
Man, fucking great.
They're waiting for McCaskey to leave, the conservative former owner. Now we're spending some cash a little bit, which is what I wanted. So let's go. Any more bold takes? I'm not saying I was happy about her dying. I'm just saying it just so happens we're a little less conservative these days from someone who is notoriously a penny pincher. That's all. It's just facts. No ill wishes. Go get me erased.
Another bold take I got. I said his name earlier, but Jalen Milroe will be the best quarterback in this NFL draft.
Oh, here we go.
Jalen Milroe. Like I said, he needs work right now. He's just a raw athlete, raw arm talent, but his footwork is complete shit. Oh my God. I'm not even gonna lie to you, but if some coach can just clean that up with him, just tell him to, instead of squaring up to the center, just put your left or right foot ahead of one another and just stagger your stance. Like, it'll speed the whole game up. That's all he needs to do, because his problem is he's just late to everything. He plays slow because, in my opinion, his feet are fucked up pre-snap. And so everything's just going to take that much slower. So think about this, CJ, if you could digest this real quick. You're behind center and you're square, so your feet are together, and you take a snap and then you go into your drop. Whereas one foot is ahead of the other, so you're in a staggered stance. And you take a snap from the center, and you're already in your throwing motion. You can just take the snap and just throw it. You see the difference? Just basic biology. That's literally all Jalen Milroe has to do, and I think a lot of his problems will just go away. But that's just what I think. Jalen Milroe, he has Cam Newton potential. That's his ceiling. Cam Newton.
I like that. My last prediction is actually along the lines of that, but it's not about Jalen Milroe. I am predicting, because all the talk about quarterbacks in this draft is really just the two. It's Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, when it comes to the first round, at least. I feel like someone Not sure which one of you rotten assholes are out there. Someone's going to panic about a quarterback. I know we're talking about that no one else really needs one. I feel like someone's still going to panic and take a third one in the first round. And his name is Jackson Dart. And do you know who's going to do it? I'll tell you who's going to do it. It's going to be the Jets. Because they're the Jets. I don't care if they got Fields. This is the New York Jets. They have PTSD when it comes to quarterbacks. They never think they have it right. Watch them, now that they've gotten Fields, immediately fuck it up for him and try to get somebody to give him some competition. Because it's the Jets. And it's what the Jets do.
Jackson. Oh, yeah. Don't.
Yep. Yep. I'm putting it out there.
That was actually one of mine, too. Someone's going to trade up for Jackson Dart.
I know it. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It's going to be a poverty franchise to do it, too.
Oh, man. It's going to be the Jags.
Right? Like, just something stupid.
Yeah, just in or case, like, Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence gets hurt.
Right. Or Cleveland will take Abdul Carter and then somehow trade back in the first and then grab Jackson Dart. Like, what? Like,
and that still be the wrong guy.
It'll be the wrong guy. Like, it's going to happen. It's got Mac Jones written all over it for me. So I'm just like, one of you is going to do it. I just don't know which one, but I'm looking.
Man.
I'm heavy side-eyeing the Jets on this one.
No, you know who I'm side-eyeing? The Steelers.
Oh, I hope not.
They traded up for Kenny Pickett.
Oh, God, you're right.
They could fuck this whole thing up.
They learned their lesson, right?
They could fuck this whole thing up right now.
That'd be so good.
They did trade up for Kenny Pickett, man. We got to keep that in mind.
Wow.
I'm over here thinking they're going to draft Shedeur Sanders. No. They're going to shock the world.
You got to, yeah. bring that ceiling back down a little bit. This is the Steelers talking about. These are
The Kenny Pickett Steelers, yeah.
Okay. Oh, no.
They can evaluate every position but quarterback, apparently. Every position on that team is so stacked.
They have championships. I don't get it. What happened? I actually like the Steelers. And I'm like,
they got two quarterbacks right. Bradshaw and Big Ben. Everyone else, they fucking missed.
But y'all had some gunners on that team. I don't get it. I don't get it, Pittsburgh. So we'll see. It's going to be a fucking fun one. And we'll have more analysis for sure closer to time. We're still about a month out. It's about that time for the 2-minute drill, sir. Why don't you hit that?
Yes, sir. It's another edition of the 2-Minute Drill. And this week on the edition of Rizzy's 2-Minute Drill, we're going to get into the real MVP. So can the real NBA MVP please stand up? And his name is none other than Shai Gilgeous Alexander. Yes, sir. He is leading the NBA in scoring at 32 points a game. He throws in 6 assists, 5 rebounds, throws in a steal, throws in a block. But most importantly, he's sitting at 59 wins in the tough Western Conference. That's good for first, ladies and gentlemen, and that's by a landslide. It is not even close. Second, teams fizzle in and out of second place every other day, and one team remains in first, not just in the West, but in all of the NBA. So in the finals, if the season were to end today and the NBA finals, if the Thunder were to make it, they would have home court advantage. And I know people are going to bring up Nikola Jokic. He's having a great season. He's averaging a triple-double, 29, 12, and 10. He's having a great year, like I said. But again, the record, the MVP, I didn't make these standards. The MVP winning matters. I didn't come up with that rule. Y'all told me that was the rule. See, last season, y'all got us because Jokic and Shai, they had the same record, 57 and 25. But this year, y'all not going to cheat us out. Nuh-uh. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, that's the rightful MVP. Y'all better put in y'all fucking ballots. Stephen A. Smith, y'all bitch-ass motherfuckers over there voting and shit. I need a vote on that motherfucker. Don't rob us. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That's his name. All right? That's the MVP. Thank you very much.
You got to sing it every time.
That's MVP quality. He plays like an old school 90s R&B song.
I love that. That's great.
He plays like he has AirPods in, listening to Dilemma by Nelly, and he's just crossing people over.
Wow.
When, step back. Cash in your face. Even when, crossover. Oh, gets a steal.
That's such a picture you just painted. That's crazy. So specific with the song, too. My God. That song is a fucking banger. Fucking fire. Man, you know what else is fire, folks? It's a Bank Bro show. So hope you guys enjoyed last week's 2-year anniversary, The Cypher. We enjoyed listening to some tunes. And in case anyone's trying to sue us from any kind of record label, just understand that I'm too broke to sue anyway. So you're wasting your time. Just leave that alone. It's fine.
What did Aaliyah say? Try again. Try again.
Exactly. He's going to sue you for that too. For the 2-second clip. But yeah, man, we love doing episodes like that for you guys. Themed episodes. So, you know, if y'all got ideas for themed episodes you guys want to hear, let us know. We've done a cookout. We've done a cypher now. We bring in special guests. But we always want to know what you want to hear, especially if you like the game nights, games you want us to play, topics you want us to cover, or an anonymous question you want a different perspective on. Just hit us up. You know where you could do that? That's at The Bank Bro Show on YouTube, Facebook, Red Note, and TikTok. And I'm saying Red Note very loudly because, folks, we're like possibly 10 days away from another TikTok ban. We'll see. The first one lasted a cup of coffee. But just in case this one's a little bit longer with all the fucked up shit going on in the world, make sure you get us on Red Note. We are over there, too. And all that same content will be moved right over there in English for your enjoyment. So don't miss out on that shit. I know. It's funny how that shit works.
And I actually have a business suggestion for you, my partner. But I'm going to wait till we actually get off air to tell you. I just wanted to, you know, give the people a little boner real quick.
Oh, okay. I like that. That was mysterious. Maybe we can talk about it next time if it turns into something. But we'll see. Until then, folks. Bank Bros are in your city, here for you as we always are, and you can bank on. Peace out. Have a good rest of your week.
Where we're headed, no one knows. But if you need some friends, rely on the Bank Bros. Blah, blah.